Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. You know, you can write that down. I'm telling you, it is. So anyway, we celebrate you, the industrial, the manufacturing, the professionals, the companies that get it done. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate. Boy, do you innovate. And you're making my life and other lives better around the world. How about that for a celebration? Thank you very much for what you do. We are broadcasting from, I want to say, the Industrial Talk Northern Command here in beautiful, I'm looking outside. Yeah, it's beautiful. Cleveland, Ohio. You know, there's a couple of things about Cleveland. Great town with great people. How about that? Let's get rolling. It's been an absolute joy. I've been brought in by a company called Team Neo, Northeast Ohio, and we've been having a wonderful time interviewing manufacturers all within the Northeast Ohio, and they have this common thing, this common thread, and the thread is they're just nice people. The whole thing is just a bunch of nice people. And so we're going to continue that theme, right? We're going to theme it with another nice person from Cleveland. Lisa Ryan is her name. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
She is with the founder and big thinker in Gratigy. What's your title?
I am Chief Appreciation Strategist, which I believe I am the world's only Chief Appreciation Strategist.
Yeah, you can go Google it. I guarantee you, you're going to just find her, possibly. If not a, well, we don't know what that is. And I'm telling you right now, excuse me, that's coffee. That's morning coffee. You know what that is? I mean, she does. She appreciates. She's fantastic. She's been on the Industrial Talk Podcast once before. We found it through the virtual means, and now I'm up here, and this is where she lives, and it's fantastic. All right, we're going to go into this interview because a couple of things that I've been sort of harping on the Industrial Talk Podcast have been these themes. And fortunately for me, I've been tootling around Cleveland, Northeast Ohio, talking to great manufacturers. And once again, it reconfirms these things. One, they want to retain talent. You know, we've been hit by this two-finger COVID death punch. How do I retain the right talent, right? So there's a strategy all around that. What do I do? How do I manage my risk? How do I eliminate it? How do I build a wall around it? How do I manage risk? Boom. How do I save money? Because you're going to have to. You can't just continue to just go through a cash burn. You got to start thinking about financially, how do you save money? How do you make money in this world? How do you make money in this market? How do you create that cash flow that's necessary for you to do a lot of things? And then how do you create a business of resiliency, which is very important, right? Makes sense, right? And so some of the strategies that we have been really talking about on this particular podcast has been you need to collaborate. Not just internally, you can't keep on drinking the same Kool-Aid. You're going to have to collaborate externally. Find other companies that might have solved the problem, that are willing to work with you. And I'm just telling you, collaboration is super key here. And then the other one is innovate. Not only from the technology perspective, right? You're going to have to start to embrace technology, yes, to innovate, yes, to be able to create a business of resiliency. But you're also going to have to be innovative in the way you retain that talent, innovative where how you manage your organization. Doing business the way, you know, like we did pre-virus, forget it. You got to innovate. And big one that everybody, and I mean 100%, nobody has ever did not say this, is educate. We've got to be able to educate our workforce in such a way that is that complies and be able to do that in the future, to be able to understand innovation, to understand the power of collaboration, to understand how to sell, just something that's selling in this particular market, and then do it with a sense of speed and urgency. Now, everybody's talking about, oh, if I do it too fast, I'm going to make a mistake. Who cares? Make the mistake, brush your knees off, get back up, boom, do it again. And don't be frightened of that. You got to do it because we're depending on you. Manufacturers, industry, leaders like Lisa, we're depending on this group of people to help us. So we're going to be talking a little bit about leadership here in this particular conversation and how it sort of evolves around that. How about that? That was a mouthful.
It was amazing.
It was. Aren't you in tears? You're all sitting there going, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Yeah, so those are the themes that I've been hearing. And what has been very interesting from my perspective and you is that you create a real positive approach and into your organization, right? And give us a little background on Lisa. Give us a little background on what you do and why I don't know how you stumbled upon this, but you did. Mm-hmm. And now that you're a chief appreciation officer.
Well, there you go. Well, the Cliff Notes version, I am born and raised Cleveland, Ohio, totally by choice. I have never lived outside of Cuyahoga County. And as you know from our couple days that we have spent here, I'm a huge fan of my hometown. And it thrills me when somebody comes from the outside and gets to experience how cool Cleveland really is.
It is so funny when we're driving around. It's like a tour, the whole thing. We could be going to a restaurant, but on your right-hand side, you see this. And on your left-hand side, this is where the first car was ever developed, right there. And then on the right, we just go back and forth, and it's fantastic. You guys, a lot of community pride in this
yes.
area. Yeah, I love it.
So I actually started my career as an executive recruiter, one of the few people on the planet who can say they sold their mother. Mom actually hated that job, but I said, Mom, you've got to stay there at least 90 days because I have a guarantee and I can't afford to give back the commission I made on you. So from there...
Pass me the gravy.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mom's still a fan. Thank you. Then I placed myself in industrial sales, and I think that that's really where my love of manufacturing and industry and being in the heart of it. I started with selling electrical cord and cable into the maintenance environment. That was doing inside sales. And then I moved into the welding industry. And that was my first foray into outside sales. And I've got to do some of the coolest things. I was down in the salt mine, a mile under Lake Erie and 4 miles out, which, like I told Scott, you don't want to do with the new guy because the new guy gets lost 4 miles under Lake Erie. But when you follow the conveyor belt, you figure that that's got to be the way out. And then when I started Gradigy, it was really based on this creating this culture of appreciation. Because sometimes in manufacturing, we think that, oh, I'm paying the guys. What do I need to thank them for? You know, isn't a paycheck good enough? Or they think that gratitude and appreciation is a soft, mushy skill that's not going to make them any money. And I will tell you what, there is nothing that will make you more money that when your employees aren't leaving because they feel that they're a part of the team, that you're including them in things, you're including them in decisions, you're listening to what they have to say. And we're looking at these new generations coming in and entering manufacturing. How do we get them to be interested in it unless we make it interesting for them? So part of my role is really I focus on manufacturing as associations and organizations because I want to change that conversation. The workforce is aging, and we can't afford to not be bringing in new talent to see what it's like. When I was in the welding industry, it was like everything your mother ever warned you about going into a factory. It was dirty. It was disgusting.
Right,
girly calendars hanging up on the walls, all of that kind of stuff. Now, I do these plant tours, and it's like, holy cow, it's cleaner than my kitchen. Well, maybe that's not saying a lot, but it's really, really clean, and it's bright, and it's the technology there, and it's just a really exciting time to be looking at all the changes that have been happening.
Now, because I'm all about the bottom line sometimes. I mean, I am the first person to celebrate people and give the kudos. Are there studies that actually prove that if I create a real appreciative culture within my organization, and granted, we know that industry, manufacturing, which is not, we're not wired that way to a certain extent, but we need to. Do you find are there research out there that says, it's proven?
Well, let me start by asking a question. Do you think that safety accidents cost manufacturers a lot of money every year?
I know the answer is yes, but I just want to be contrary. Yes, absolutely, it costs, yes.
So if you could have something that when employees feel engaged, they feel appreciated, they feel valued, that your safety incidents could be reduced by 52%, do you think that that would have an increase, an impact on your bottom line?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what about workers showing up, getting the job done? Do you think that when employees decide not to show up because they were out drinking at the bar last night and they know that it's going to be a pain in the butt to show up to work, what if your absenteeism went down by 32%? What if your profitability went up by 122% versus organizations that do not have engaged employees? And the thing is, it's not something that you have to spend a whole lot of money doing. It's catching your employees doing things well instead of beating them upside the head because of all the things that they did wrong. I had one of my program participants come up to me one time and he said, Lisa, when I do something wrong, I get recognized 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And yet when I do something well, it rarely gets noticed. If you could flip those numbers around and focus more on the good, guess what? Your employees are going to do more of that.
Just wrap it up now, the conversation? Because it's pretty much, I have no other place to go with this conversation. It was like, well, what about this? I don't even have one of those. But I'll tell you one thing. That makes sense. All of the stuff that you mentioned absolutely makes sense. There's no argument. So listeners, there's no argument with it. However, why aren't we doing it?
There's a lot of companies. The interesting thing is that there's a lot of companies that are. The Gallup organization started looking at engagement in the early 2000s. And around that time, in the United States, they found that about 32% of employees are actively engaged. About 48% are basically disengaged. They're doing enough work so that they don't get fired. And then that bottom 20%, hopefully that added up to 100%, is actively disengaged, which are the poisonous, toxic, horrible people who work for you. But if you look at the numbers, they're always right around that. They don't change. We know this information, and yet we still have approximately 50% of our workforce that is disengaged. So what gets offset by the companies that are knocking it out of the park, 70, 80% engagement, versus the companies that are just doing a really horrible job. You are nothing but an employee number to me. I don't even know your name. Just do your work. I don't know anything about you. And so that's what kind of keeps this precarious balance. And it's sad because it doesn't have to be that way. So just having these conversations with organizations that get it, because when you look at something like gratitude, I actually start with the personal level of that. And if I can show you the studies, the research, the anecdotes, the best practices of bringing gratitude into your life, looking for the good, and now you can have a better relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with everybody else in your life, it's easier to bring that person into the workplace and look for the good in your employees. If you look at employee engagement as nothing more than a check mark because you read it in a magazine, somebody told you you had to engage your employees, it's not going to make the same amount of difference as if you just get it on that personal level. You see the benefits for you first, and then you can bring it into the workplace. And that's what changes over time.
It has to be over time.
It has to be over time.
And it has to be sustainable, because how many organizations have you been in where we're going to do this? Here are some T-shirts, and look at those posters up there. They're positives posters, so we're doing our part to create a great environment. And then it stops, and it's sort of because, like you said, they Googled it, they found it, boom, there it is, I'll do that, and then it ends in a week.
Right, because your employees don't trust you. What happens?
Trust is huge.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, you go to a seminar, you go to your industry conference, and you come back with all these ideas. And, you know, of course you want, you have 23 things and you want them done now. And your employees are going, oh, God, he just came back from another conference. Let's just ignore everything that he says for the next 2 weeks, because they know that it's going to go back to whatever that normal was. Now, leaders expect that, you know, well, I'm putting in these changes. I have good intentions, and this should change overnight. And it's like, dude, your workplace culture took a long time to build.
Yeah.
It is not changing overnight. So it's picking that one thing. It's picking that one thing. Maybe you just, you know, look for ways to walk through the shop and say, hey, thanks, and a sincere thanks and specific thanks. Of letting your employees know, one interaction, one conversation at a time, little by little, your employees will say, okay, he or she really means it this time. Maybe this one will actually work.
And that incremental approach is powerful, not just from a leadership perspective, an appreciation perspective, but also from an operational perspective. If we tend to think, it's like, oh my gosh, look at the size of this. But we rarely come down and say, what if I just get a little victory? And to your point, how difficult is it? I mean, let's say you haven't done it, right? All you got to do is make sure that you get the person's name right, write it down, go out there and say thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's even as simple as that.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, fantastic. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Sincerely, do not do it with insincere motives, because people just, you know, spider senses go off and say, thank you. Back at you, sport. But if you do it with some realism in it, some human component, I think you're absolutely right. One of the things that I have noticed, specifically here in Northeast Ohio, because I've been fortunate enough to take these tours, the owners, the presidents of... they do exactly that. These companies are super successful, top to bottom, you know, left to right, whatever you want to call. And what I always noticed, one, is that that individual, that leader, knew the names.
Yep.
And knew the, hey, how's your daughter? How's she doing? Okay with school? Great, fantastic. And they just move on. It's not sitting there and saying, okay, can I have a cup of coffee? It's just that fast. And then also what I've noticed in those organizations, when you're just walking by and we're just chit-chatting, you know, we're having this conversation, is that people will just, they'll wave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, it's good to see you. Wave.
Right.
This is pretty cool.
By the way.
And these organizations are extremely successful. I'm not saying they don't have their challenges, but that culture is top to bottom and left to right.
Yeah, and it has to start at the top.
Yeah.
If the company leadership feels that, oh, that's an HR thing, and either they don't participate in, you know, the activities, or if they're forced to come and sit in the back of a program, they have their laptops out and they're checking their emails, and the employees know. They're not, you know, they're like, well, why are we sentenced to be here if leadership has got no interest in it? It has to start at the very top. And if upper management doesn't get it, it's not going to work. And then the employees have that chance, that choice of, do I stay or do I go? But if that top leader gets it, because the thing is that top leader walks through the shop and says, hey, Bob, how you doing today? How's your daughter? You're seen differently than just the coworker. Wow, he knows my name. He pays attention to me. I've never had a manager that's done that. I've never had an owner that's done that before. And just that one moment that you connected with that employee, you don't know if that guy had just gotten an offer down the street for something else and he was going to give his resume or tell you that he was out of there today, give you his notice. But that moment, that conversation, he rethought it. Go, you know what? I got it pretty good here. I'm going to stay.
And see, this is in line with the way I started the podcast, because I knew that you could address it. And I'll be candid. Leadership's important. But if I had a nickel for everybody that taught leadership, I'd be rich. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we all know leadership is important. What fascinates me about you and this simple approach, and it is simple because you're just saying, hey, I appreciate you, and mean it. It addresses all of those components. How do I retain talent? Demonstrate appreciation.
Yeah.
The right talent. You don't want to start losing people today. You want to retain that talent. So if you can demonstrate that level of just appreciation, great. How do I manage risk? Risk of people leaving, risk, I mean, it all is addressed by that leadership as well. How do I save money? They're going to be more engaged. They're going to be more focused in on the success of their career, not just in the company and everybody else, because there's a real connection between everybody within the organization. Powerful. How do I make money? You just start making money just because, well, people are more productive.
Yeah.
You're able to get it out the door better. Quality's higher. Everything's associated with it. Mm-hmm. And boy, are you more resilient. Mm-hmm. You just are. Again, the incremental approach is pretty cool. I mean, that to me, I can consume. I want to know. Why aren't we doing this? I've seen it successful, but then there are just a ton of people that leaders or owners or whatever. Is it pride? What is it?
I think there's a lot. There's a mixture.
And then how do you crack it?
Right. There's a lot of things. I mean, our plates are full and we're always being hit by the next new thing and technology and checking emails and just being barraged with so many messages all day long that we know when there's a problem, an order doesn't ship out, something's wrong with production, whatever, that's something concrete that we can say, oh, you messed up, you didn't get this done. But when things are going along smoothly and swimmingly, well, that's the way they're supposed to be. So why should I, you know, that's what I'm paying you for.
Right.
And it's that awareness. And I think that it's the awareness of just knowing the difference. The people that try it, that walk through the shop, they get to know people little by little. And they see these just little baby steps, these incremental changes. I had at one of my programs, I was talking to a guy, he owned a small shop, and I said, well, what do you do? You know, he said, I walk through and every morning I say good morning to every single employee. I said, well, how does that help you? He goes, well, number one, I'm making that personal connection, but I can tell, are they having a good day? Is there something going on?
Very good.
Because, and now if I see that employee is a little off, instead of just ignoring it, I can say, hey, what's going on? And I can nip it in the bud, letting that employee know that I care enough about them to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an extraordinarily low turnover. So it's just these little things. This is not an excuse to, you know, not pay your employees a competitive salary, because, of course, that's something they need.
That's a component, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
But it's just these little things as far as I can keep them. Why we're not doing it is because unless the awareness is there, you're not even thinking about it.
So here's the funny thing. I think, of course, we all understand the challenge of COVID. It is what it is. It's tough. We see it. But I think that there are some positive components associated with it. And I think pre-virus, we were lazy. And your message of gratitude or gratitude resonates better today than it did before. Because once again, in an economy that's just booming and having a grand old time, that focus on the individual and that focus on your organization tends to sort of, not today. I'm like, man, I'm sipping champagne. I'm having a grand old time. I think today, if your leadership or lack thereof, your lack of leadership is far more observed, because it's stressful.
Right.
And how you deal with that. And I can see how your approach will help facilitate an easier sort of an acceptance of the challenging time. Instead of me just blowing up, if I own the company, I'm blowing up. That doesn't work now. You're going to need to, one, collaborate internally because you need help. And the only way you're going to do it is because I need your help.
Yeah.
If I don't succeed, we all don't succeed. So I need your help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a painful positive to the COVID.
Yeah.
Because you need people. You need them today.
Yeah. It's that vulnerability. And I think that's another thing that people, leaders, again, in a guy's world in manufacturing, a lot of times it's like, we don't want to let them see that we are anything but all that in a bag of chips.
That's right.
But when they see the real you, not only are you reaching out to them to say, how are you doing personally? Because if your employees started working remote, all of a sudden they're not only, not working, or they're working from home doing as best as they can with the spotty technology that they have, but their kids are screaming in the background. Right. They have to do daycare. They have to do homeschooling. Maybe they're taking care of aging parents that they're worried about. So all of these other things. So we have this level of personal connection. And the companies that aren't doing that, we're learning a lot because now those employees are being like, he or she didn't reach out to me at all, didn't ask me anything about how I was doing personally, and I'm out of here. It's these, and we've been forced to use a lot of technology that it may have been years that we would do of having remote workers. How many of you will be now having certain employees working from home 100% of the time? It's great. Wow, we're saving all this money. We're doing all this stuff in the shop. Yeah, can't do that.
No, you need boots on the ground. And if you're, you're making your money by visiting locations and you can't. But I'm telling you that this whole, how do you demonstrate gratitude to a remote workforce, right? And you brought up a good point. Call them. How you doing?
Yeah. Call them.
Call them.
Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Send a note in the mail. There's so many things now. Last night I had the opportunity to partake in an online bartending course. Client had sent all the ingredients and they had an online bartender and we learned how to make a couple cocktails. Think about just doing little fun things like that for your employees. Hey, instead of having the regular painful Zoom meeting that you guys are just sick to death of, we're going to do a Zoom happy hour. I'm going to send the ingredients to your house. We're all going to jump on and we're going to do something fun. And that's where the creativity has come in. Because who would have thought that you could do so many of these fun team building opportunities when people are at home, but we're getting more creative. We're figuring out new ways to do it. And also now we can listen to our employees who said, hey, I heard about this. Hey, this might be kind of cool. Hey, can we try this?
Yeah.
And we're much more open than we were before to just have some fun.
See, for me, I think it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
I think, with the pain, yes, it is. But I think to quote Jay with Team Neo, it's the next normal. I mean, it is a game changer. And if you think if you're going to do business as usual in this type of environment going forward, God bless you. Good luck. But if you're willing to, collaborate with people like you and others and be innovative and really work at being innovative, like here, how about a webinar that does, hey, attend this webinar and you'll also learn how to create an old fashioned. Like, you'll learn about digitization and an old fashioned. How about that? Mm-hmm. All right. And be creative and innovative when it comes to that stuff. And then, of course, educate. I cannot express the amount of individuals that have come to me and said, we need to educate. This time is just necessary for education. You could be lazy pre-virus. You got to bring your A game. You got to bring your A game this now, and that to me just is such, brings about other challenges, but it's a cool time.
Well, nobody ever quit a job because of too much training. And unfortunately, that seems to be
true.
Yeah, that seems to be the number one thing that gets cut. And it's the least thing that should get cut. Richard Branson had a brilliant quote. He said, you want to educate people so that they could leave, but treat them well enough so that they never want to.
All right. See, there it is. Lisa and Ryan's her name. Gratigy is the company. And I know she is active out on LinkedIn. So just put in Lisa Ryan, comma, Gratigy, and you'll find her. She's got a head of hair. Definitely. And you will not be disappointed. Absolutely. All right. A couple of things. One, collaborate, innovate, educate. Those are non-negotiable, especially in this particular environment. And you better doggone lead and demonstrate some gratitude with the people that are helping you to succeed. Is that okay?
Works for me.
Doggone it. All right. Again, you know as well as I do, I'm going to wrap this up on the other side. You want to get a hold of Lisa? It'll be out on industrialtalk.com. Big time. Links, contacts, everything that you need to know. Reach out. If you're ever in Cleveland, she's a great tour guide, too. How about that? All right. Thank you very much. Do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Well, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Lisa Ryan, once again, you want to go out to her stat card. It's quite impressive. But I have another thing to share with you. Absolutely. As I pull up my information, let's pull up my information here. We're going to go out to an event. An event is called the Employee Retention Summit for Manufacturing. And as you can tell, we spoke about that on the particular interview. And one of the things that you definitely want to do as a manufacturer, you want to retain that talent. You got to retain that talent. You got to retain the right talent, of course. And Lisa Ryan and her team at Gratigy is putting on this incredible conference. So paper to pencil right now, November 9th through the 11th. And I'm going to be on it just because I want to. And she's wonderful. And she just sort of humors me. That's right. I'm going to have this link out there. But remember, November 9th through the 11th is the employee retention. If you're struggling retaining talent or trying to find talent, she's got a great group of individuals that want to speak about how to do that right. Yep. Okay. One last challenge. I want you to be bold, brave, and dare greatly. I want you to hang out with people who are bold, brave, and dare greatly. Lisa is one. It'll change your world. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Be safe, and we'll be back with another great conversation shortly.